few weeks ago, I told you, this is Father Jim again, about something that happened very significant when I was about seven. How a German prisoner of war, who was working in the fields and who came to midnight mass at Christmas time, gave me his Christmas sweet ration that was confiscated as soon as I got home. And this taught me that all Germans don't eat babies. Nobody else gave me their Christmas sweet ration, but the enemy did. And this gave me a very soft feeling for prisoners generally. Now, there are many people, thank goodness, who look after the victims of crime. And for that, I'm very grateful. There's a famous sister in America who wrote Dead Men Walking, and she used to look after prisoners, death row, but also widened her scope to care for victims of crime. And it is quite right that the victims of crime are cared for. But sometimes there aren't so many people who care for the prisoners. Years ago, I watched on television in England a most moving programme where a piano teacher, with her family's permission, found a website for prisoners asking for pen pals. And she developed a most profound relationship with someone in death row in California. They never actually met, and eventually he was executed. And when I, being very late on the scene, started using a computer only 4 years ago when I was 68, I used to be terrified of computers. I mean, since then I've realised what I've been missing. I found various websites and found advertisements for prisoners in America who'd like to have pen pals. So I wrote to eight and had a reply from four that I've kept up with. I aimed at people who were either in death row or lifers without parole, because I gathered many people are either looking for a marriage partner or some friendship, and so will tend to be interested in those people who have short sentences. But I was thinking of those in death row and those who perhaps will never be freed. I've kept up with those four, and since then made a friend of a young man who's Jewish now and who might be out in 2009. But apart from the death row, the other three are all lifers without parole. Those four were all murderers, some of them frightful crimes, but they were all under the influence of drugs, which of course I don't condone. But I write to them, a bit behindhand at the moment, because my work has exploded in the last year or so. I send them pocket money so that they can buy something from the mobile canteen. And I go to visit my death row friend at least once a year. It's just so sad going from Rome to Florida. It's so expensive. I have always been treated with enormous respect and consideration by prison staff. When I first went to see my friend in death row, I was a little bit nervous. I'd never been in an American prison before. But I met a wonderful lady whose husband is in death row, and she showed me the ropes. And what we do is, on Saturdays, when we have permission to visit, they all meet at a cafe about a mile from the death row prison, near a place called Stark in Florida. And we all line up our cars at about 5:45 in the morning at a gas station. And we then have some coffee and a bun or something like that. And then at 6:55, we all go in procession the mile to the prison car park. And then at 7:00, somebody comes out and takes us in order and tells us to come back at 8:30. And at 8:30, the gentleman comes out again, gives us our passes, and we all have a visitor's number, and we put our fingerprints into a thing, and we're allowed in. And then about 9 o'clock, my death row friend turns up. They're completely searched before and after the visit. I'm allowed to take some dollars in, not to give him, we're not allowed to give him anything, but we are allowed to buy food from the machine that we can heat on microwaves for him, and drinks from the Coke freezer. I always know what he likes. He likes sort of meat burgers, Angus steak, so I always make sure I have plenty of those on the table. And he likes a Coke. And when he turns up, we sit and chat. I'm allowed to be with him for 6 hours, which is generous. I always get there early, because if there were more visitors than there's room, in the room we meet, there's probably about 40 tables for four people, I'd have to talk to him through a hatch. Well, having come so far from Rome to Florida, it'd be a shame just to talk to him through a hatch. We're allowed a little hug at the beginning and at the end of the 6 hours. And he loves Scrabble. He's terribly clever. He always beats me at Scrabble, which he enjoys doing. And then we play cards and we chat. And he gets through, I think I'm allowed $40 worth of food. He always gets through it. You see, our Lord was in death row. In law, he was guilty. As far as the law went, he blasphemed. He said he and the Father are one. And he took his punishment like a man. But he was in death row too. And my profound belief is everyone is redeemable. And this friend in death row maybe has about 2 years to go before all his appeals run out. He's already been in death row for 10 years. Terrible crimes, you know, under drugs. And I gather I'm a real lifeline for him. News from the outside. He's got a meeting with his lawyers in about a month or two. He's asked me to be with him if and when they do him in. I said, of course I will. Because he was sentenced before the rules were changed, he could either choose electrocution or injection. I just hope he doesn't choose electrocution. I've seen the film, I forget what it's called now, 7 Mile Walk or something like that. I'd hate to face an electrocution. But there must be nothing worse than to die without someone to be with you. So if necessary, I'll take leave and spend the last 3 weeks he has. I came across a remarkable lay chaplain, Catholic chaplain, at the prison. And when they finish with me at the seminary, who knows, I might ask if I can go and work there for a couple of years, just to help, as they're rather short of priests. So that's my friend in death row. I suppose the one I'm very close to is a life without parole. He, also in Florida, had the most brutalized childhood. It really is absolutely frightful when you hear how abused he was. He used to be birched by his foster parents. And then he got into drugs. At the age of 19, I gather he killed somebody who was pressing him for money. But he was told that if he pleaded guilty, they wouldn't invoke the death penalty. So, of course, he pleaded guilty. So I gather there wasn't a trial. His background wasn't brought into it. He was just sentenced to life without parole. And he was doing very well. You know, we write frequently. And he was getting qualified in all sorts of things, probably without a chance of parole. You see, in England, things are different. If somebody's sentenced to life, it probably means 15 years. And with good behaviour, you might be out in 9 years. And it was quite a shock for me to realise that it's prison without parole means, you know, you can die in prison. So I've been bolstering him up with deep, deep friendship. I managed to visit him once or twice, because in Florida I'm only allowed to be on one person's visiting list. And so inevitably I had to put the death row person, friend, first. But he let me off for a year to visit this other friend I'm very close to. And he's had ups and downs. He'd be going through a bad patch now, but he seems to have found sobriety again. And I've seen where they live. I just hope he takes a new interest in life now and manages to, you know, get further qualified. He surprised me in his last letter by saying that there is a parole meeting, and so I must ask him what that means. I thought he, you know, would never get parole. I mean, I'd be willing to give him a home and try to guarantee his sobriety and his good behaviour. Probably that's not possible. But at least I'm giving him hope. He has a friend on the outside. The third prisoner in Florida has found Jesus in a very big way. And I'm extraordinarily impressed by the serenity and holiness he's found. The friend who's now Jewish in Texas, again, he got into gangs as a young man, into drugs. But he may be out in 2009, and I promised him a really nice holiday when he comes out. The other friend in California, who's also half Indian, he spends a lot of his time using his intellect, following the law and trying to see if there's anything that can help him there. But for me, it's a privilege. I'm not here to condone anything. But I'm glad that some of us are happy to care for prisoners. Our Lord said he came to set prisoners free, if you look at the fourth Eucharistic prayer. Of course I can't go in with keys and let people out, but there is an inner freedom that is more important than physical incarceration, where people know wherever they've been, whatever they've done, they are still loved. And it's shocking that that is what God is like. Whatever we've done, wherever we've been, they're still loved. And that is why I find the death penalty so repugnant, though it's not for me to criticise what another country does, really. Because there's always a chance for change and conversion. And if God gives life, I don't think you can be a Catholic nowadays and really support the death penalty. Not if you follow what this and the last Pope have to say about the subject. And maybe next week I'll look at a poem about love, which really shows whatever we've done, wherever we've been, he still has an unshakable love for every person. So please pray for my five friends, that somehow the Lord will comfort them and that I will be a really good brother and friend of them all. Amen.